Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Twickenham CC podcast. My name is Dan Huff. I'm secretary of the club. With me this evening, I have two of our captains. Our resident second team aficionado, Eugene Berger, is with us. Hi, Eugene.
Good evening, Dan.
How's things? All well?
Yeah, very well. Thanks,
and
you?
Battling on, yeah. Battling on. We also have Steve Watts, the third team skipper. Steve, all groovy with you?
Fantastic, Dan. Great to be back so soon.
Good man. Well, good to have you. We have plenty to discuss, chaps, as ever. There's the World Cup to unpack a little bit, and there's been plenty of cricket in and around Twickenham CC, as always. I was going to kick off, though, with just one shout-out, really, if that's the appropriate terminology, to an old friend of Twickenham CC who is plying his trade elsewhere this season, Clint McCabe. As bowling figures go, his performance on Saturday for old Wimbledonians, 7 for 9. Decent bowling stats. What, see, have you ever had 7 for 9?
Oh, there and thereabouts many a time. Done 8 for 13 once as a youth, actually. But, you know, I think my favourite one was when we bowled a side out of school for 24 and I took 6 for 18 with one of those, but also got hit for 6 into my dad's car.
So impressive.
That's three quarters of the runs, though, Steve.
I've never been one for economy, Huge.
It's all about getting out,
I was going to say, Dan, I have taken 6-7 wickets before. It's just taken me 6 games to get there.
6 games? Took me 6 years. one of the reasons I mentioned that is 7 for 9, phenomenal performance. Well bowled, Clint, if you're listening. The side he was playing against obviously didn't get many runs, 38 all out. Now, we had Chris Wild on last week, and he mentioned that the Fifths had struggled gamely to 42 all out in their first game of the season this year. Folks, what, in senior cricket, what's the lowest score you've ever been involved in, either the side you were playing for or the side you're playing against? Can you beat that? Yours was school game, Watsy. What about senior cricket?
In terms of, it was last Totals, season. Yeah. It was last season against Finchley. I think we were bowled out for 43.
Is that the famous one where Amos started and ended the over, yes, umpiring, and batted in the middle?
Indeed. I was at non-strikers and saw 5 wickets fall in an over.
Ooh. You're gonna have to explain that to me.
So I was there at the non-strikers end having a nice chat with Stewie at the start of the over about, you know, how it was gonna be fine. We were gonna see through the next few overs and put on a big total. By the end of the over, Stewie had left the field umpiring, got his pads on, been in, got out again, and was back umpiring again.
That is impressive. Wow.
That is phenomenal. I wish we'd had pitch vision. That would definitely have gone viral.
It would
have been
good.
So what was the total there, sorry?
It's 42 or 43. I think it was 43 because I cheered on Saturday when we just about scraped past it. So, yeah.
Cool. Yush, what's the lowest score your side that you've been playing for has been involved in?
Probably about 4 years ago in a game for the twos. I think it was around, I'm going to say, mid-80s, Dan.
mid-80s? So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I don't have any horror stories yet. Let's just touch wood. Yep. This weekend's cricket's coming. It's been a bit of rain around. Who knows what's going to happen with the toss? But
yeah, one should be careful where one goes with this. I mean, I remember our second year in the county league. Would have been 2008, I think. We got promoted from Division 3 and we played Shepherd's Bush on the green, and we were 57 all out, the first team. I think Carlos got about 15 or 20, I think. And Alan Richardson was playing for Shepherd's Bush with his sort of spaghetti action, you know, former Middlesex player, Worcestershire player, big Stoke City fan. And it was a bit of a wet weekend as well. And let's just say it was reasonably hard work. So 57 all out was not, it could have been worse. Lower down, I once played in a game in Shropshire where we bowled the opposition out for 18 and there were 7 LBWs.
Was there neutral umpires?
No, it was their umpires.
Right,
it was their umpire, that's the thing. It was one of those odd ones where we don't think he really knew the laws of the game, so he just fired everyone out.
Oh, right.
Slightly surreal, but I think 57, I think that's where I am on that.
Yeah. It's a tough old thing to come back when the confidence is low from a low score. But yeah, these things happen in cricket.
Absolutely, low scoring games often more interesting than high scoring games.
That they are.
Leaving that to one side, we'll get back to low scores a bit later. But World Cup, we've obviously had a bit more cricket this week than we had last week. We've certainly had some interesting games. Did either of you watch the Bangers the other day? Cruise past the West Indies.
Yeah, it was they're a brilliant side to watch, Bangladesh. It's like a home tournament for them at times, and you can't help but get into it when you watch them on TV. The atmosphere coming from those grounds, from the ground when they play, and they play such an enterprising form of the game. It didn't actually surprise me that they beat a sort of slightly injured and tired.
Slightly, yeah, slightly well, injured. Yeah.
As I said, I think we were talking earlier in the week. I said it's like Andre Russell must have been like Lazarus on the morning of the game. They just said, yes, he's alive. Let's play him. And then, of course, three overs in, he is on his knees again, literally. So, Bangladesh have been brilliant for this tournament. I think, obviously they're a proper test playing nation now. And so not to take anything away from them. But in terms of the sort of one team that's really, I think, announced themselves on the international stage, it would probably be those guys.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. I enjoy watching Bangladesh. I don't really enjoy watching the West Indies at the moment. I mean, I saw a little bit earlier this evening, Charles Colville made, always one for a nice one-liner, Charles Colville. And he said that, the green shoots of recovery that we saw earlier in the year have had a strong dose of weed killer poured all over them because the West Indies look awful. What's gone wrong? Hughes, any thoughts?
I have to say, first of all, my prediction of them getting into the top four has probably also had a douse of weed killer.
I was going to gloss over that, to be honest, but yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, when I saw West Indies score, I think it was 320, I didn't give it another thought to think that Bangladesh would get anywhere close, Dan. I actually only found out after the game when we were doing selection that, I think it was actually Steve that walked in. And he went, you're not going to believe this. West Indies have just been beaten and comprehensively beaten.
Battered, I think, would be in a more appropriate term, yeah.
Yeah, to my surprise, still with, 8.5 overs to go. So, yeah, I mean, hats off to the Tigers. They are, they are the dark horse of the tournament, not the West Indies, I thought.
They would have scored well over 400 if they'd have had their 50 overs. Well over 400.
It's worth noting as well, that's the fourth highest chase ever in World Cup cricket. So, it's a serious...
And what about this guy, Shakib Al-Hassan?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, I had a little flutter on the old top run scorer markets before the tournament, and he wasn't someone who'd entered my mind, but my God. I mean, he's averaging, I think he's got his nearly 400 runs at 120 apiece. I mean, just brilliant. He's got so much pressure on him as well because he knows that along with Tamim, and Tamim's usually out by the time he goes in, he's the main man, but he carries it so well.
But you know what the best thing about him is, Watsy? The celebrations, or lack thereof.
Yeah.
He got to 50, shaking the hand. Got to 100. Yeah. He raised his bat a little bit, carried on. The boy's got a bit of class about him. I like that a lot. Mm.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, he's the top run scorer in the tournament, and he's played one game less than the next highest run scorer. That says something.
Yeah, impressive. Is that including today's stats with Owen Morgan?
Yes. Yeah. No, okay. But also Joe Root will be in second now after today. I mean, Joe Root scored two tons, let's not forget, in what, four or five games, and an 89 today, and he's not even top run scorer. Mm. Extraordinary.
Right. Impressive. We're moving away from the West Indies there, though, folks. Just a quick one on that. I mean, they've got this wrong tactically, haven't they? I mean, I get the plan A. We're going to bowl quickly. We're going to bowl at people's toes and people's throats. But plan B doesn't exist. There is no plan B. And when Andre Russell's injured, when some of these guys are lumbering around, they look really one-dimensional, no?
Yeah. I mean, for me as well, and this is my concern with the Windies at the start of the tournament, they're a big match team and they can get themselves up for games and they can be utterly unplayable on their day. But to try and do it consistently two or three times a week in this format is a completely different proposition. And you can see the fitness of the guys is, it's caused problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I get that, Watsy, but I'm not quite as forgiving there, really. I mean, they've only played four games. You know, they haven't played 14 games, and they do that in these one-day series. And certainly against England in the winter, they looked a different proposition. Maybe it's quite frankly, it's the type of pitches and the weather. You know, the West Indies are, you know, traditionally they want hard wickets, and they want the sun on their backs, and that's really, you know, that's not there, and we know that's not there at the moment. But that they just have no other options. And I find that interesting, because one thing these guys do now is prepare, and the backroom staff will have thought about what happens if Andre Russell gets injured, and whatever they came up with as a plan B to me just well, seems to have failed.
Ironically, they should have called for the nurse, shouldn't they?
Boom, boom.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting you saying that. You know, I compare the West Indies to Australia. And they are also, again, you know, in my mind, they've also been very one-dimensional, but yet they've been winning. And I suppose what's that old adage saying, that they've been winning ugly, which says something about them. You know, I think, you know, you'd rather win ugly, or you know, when you're winning ugly, that's a good thing. But you'd rather win pretty.
I get that, Huge, but I mean, I remember that one game where Coulton-Ahl came in and scored 90 when they were in a really awkward position.
Yeah, they
no
were,
one's
yeah.
done that for the win. No one's come in at 7 or 8 and done something untoward. Their bowling's got just that little bit more about it. Stark's bowling at 95 mile an hour, and none of the West Indies guys are quite doing that. I just feel that, you know, tactically, the West Indies are nowhere near where Australia are. When things go wrong for the West Indies, bang, they go wrong. That's it.
Yeah.
My Vienna.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes out the sides like Australia and India, to be fair. Things can be going horribly wrong, yet they're still in the game.
Yeah, good point. Very good point.
Another point I wanted to make about the World Cup, only a couple of things on this tonight, because we do a lot about the World Cup in this pod. Tomorrow, New Zealand v South Africa. And then after that, Australia versus Bangladesh. You could make a case, if you were that way inclined, to say if New Zealand beats South Africa tomorrow, and no disrespect, Huge, but SA's struggling a bit. So that's reasonably likely. And if Australia beat Bangladesh, then we can all go on holiday for 2 weeks, forget the cricket, because nothing really matters that much, and just come back to the semi-finals, no? Because it'll be done and done.
Yeah, I get your point. But there'll still be good games of cricket, hopefully. Or what you're saying is that they'll probably rest, in the top four, will probably rest some of their sides. Is that what you're saying? Some of their players?
I don't know if they'll do that. I mean, I think they'll want to keep a bit of momentum going. And I would have thought, if I was Owen Morgan going up to Josh Butler and say, have a rest, I think I'd be like, really? You know, I won't mind carrying on whacking the ball out of the ground. So I'm not sure they'll do that so much. But I just don't think there'll be anything on the games. They won't have the same sizzle, for want of a better word, that some of these games thus far have had. Now, I get your point. It's international cricket. Will I watch it? Of course I will, obviously. But I do think that this is what the organisers were probably worrying about. We're going to have four teams break away here. And we're only just at the halfway stage in terms of qualifying for the semi-finals.
I'd probably say three teams have broken away. I mean, there's a possibility that, you know, Bangladesh can still make it. I mean, they're in fifth at the moment, you know, chasing hard.
Well, that's why I'm looking at their run. I'm assuming New Zealand beat South Africa, Australia beat Bangladesh. I think that would be not the nightmare scenario, but the worst scenario in terms of keeping that, you know, those top four slots alive. What do you make of this?
So what you're saying, top three and four, then?
I'm saying not that if New Zealand. Well, I'm saying it doesn't really matter, does it? You know, if you ask me who I want to play out of all that lot, I don't really know. I'll take whoever comes along. Australia and India are a really good side, so I guess I'd probably say New Zealand. But it's a semi-final. Whoever turns up on the day, plays the better cricket, is going to win, and all four of those could win it. So I'm not that worried whether we finish first, second, third, or fourth, as long as we do finish in one of those positions. What do you make of this? Am I being unduly negative?
No, I think we covered it a little bit, didn't we, 3 weeks ago? And basically what some of the stuff we mentioned has come to fruition. I think the great thing for me about a World Cup of any sport is when so much is attached to every match and everyone's on tenterhooks and it gets the public's imagination. We've got England-Australia next week. And if the results come in, as you say, you know, I'm lucky enough to be going to that game, and I thought this is going to
be... I knew you were going to mention that. I was waiting for that.
but I thought it was going to be pivotal in terms of the qualification, potentially. And I think both sides are going through. And obviously, that match always has an element of spice to it anyway. But we could come to England, India towards the back end, and it becomes almost a dead rubber. And that's such a shame. I mean, we would have liked to have seen that game up front in the tournament, you know.
But
for
having
sure.
said that, I mean, and you, this is Yuji's point, it's England v India in the World.
Yeah.
It's still going to be worth seeing, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not going to have the same attached value as the England-India potentially, you know.
A week later in the semi-final?
A few weeks later, yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah, it's an interesting one. The one thing I will say is that I still think South Africa is going to have a say in this World Cup, and that game will only be possibly against Australia to make sure either the Aussies go through or they don't.
Can I get this out there now? And I'm prepared for you to both slaughter me this time next week when we do our next pod. But I've got a feeling South Africa, New Zealand tomorrow is not going to be a walk in the park for the Kiwis. I can't quite bring myself to say I think South Africa will win. But I think South Africa will either give them the shock of their lives or, I don't know. South Africa, they've not been playing well, but they're not hopeless.
I made that prediction, though, South Africa-India, that South Africa were going to cause India some problems. First game in a WhatsApp group.
Didn't go so well.
Slightly
that,
silly.
Yeah.
So, and I think New Zealand were my fourth team to be in the top four. I think New Zealand are a really savvy and quality one-day cricket side. I mean, we know ever since McCullum was there, we know what they did. We know what they did for England, funnily enough, you know, that classic series with McCullum and Morgan. And I just respect them enormously as a one-day team. But I think you're right. I think South Africa, New Zealand is a pivotal game in the World Cup. I just hope it gets played.
Yeah. 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 Forecast doesn't look too bad. But then again, I'm no weatherman.
Well, we shall see. One thing about New Zealand, of course, is that they really haven't played anyone yet. They haven't played Australia, England or India. So that they, I think they are a good side, but we'll only really know more about them when they play the top guns. And that's why I think tomorrow's interesting. I think South Africa could, with a fair wind, with luck going their way, they're due a change of fortune. We certainly know that. So as ever, I will be watching with interest, as I presume you will be, Hughes, right?
I will, yeah. I have a cricket game tomorrow, actually. So I'll be watching with one eye because I'm going to be playing.
Good stuff. Can I ask, MCC?
Yeah, MCC.
Oh, where are you playing? Anyone else?
Yeah, in Isleworth.
Oh, okay. I'll need further clarification. is it a school or?
Yeah, it's a school. Cool. Yeah, it's a school.
Good, good. Well, I hope it goes well. Second thing I wanted to bring up, guys, interested to hear your thoughts on this one. Of course, we've had 6 weeks of league cricket now in Middlesex, and the most recent Saturday was time cricket. It was we've had five games of limited overs, and we moved into time cricket now. It's actually relatively recently that we've had any overs cricket at all. I mean, 3 or 4 years now that we've had some overs cricket, and we have 50% of the games in each of the two formats. What's your feeling on that? What's your take on this? Are we moving sort of unceremoniously towards limited overs cricket and time cricket is a bit of an anachronism? Or do you think that it's still got a place in the way that we play the game as opposed to the pros? And that we should sort of embrace that for what it is. I mean, Steve, what do you make of this?
Well, firstly, I think the combination actually of having both forms of cricket is fantastic, especially as a captain. You know, presents completely different challenges, and you know, I think it's good variety for the team, and it also it's great the way the league plays out of the fact that it's win lose 10 points or zero. Right at the start and right at the end of the season. But for me, time cricket is my bread and butter. It's what I grew up with, you know, the tactical element of it. For me, cricket wasn't always just about trying to score more runs than the other team, but it was about those moments when you're trying to bowl a side out to claim victory when they're doing everything they can, tooth or nail, not to lose that final wicket. And, you know, just like test cricket, you know, this is our form of that, effectively, that happens in one afternoon. You know, it's that old battle, isn't it? One day and T20 against Test. And I think there's a place for both. I think, you know, the mentality for both is it needs to be slightly different. And maybe some of us are guilty at not being able to turn our minds well from one to the other. The amount of times that the first year of overs cricket came in, well, my team didn't bat 45 overs a single game the first season overs cricket came in because suddenly everyone was trying to play the, you know, the slog sweeps and everything else. So I just think I think it's really, really, really good for the game to have both types and to experience both. And personally, as a captain, I love the challenge of trying to bowl a side out.
But it would be fair to say that not everyone agrees with that.
That's correct,
yeah.
Dan.
Okay, yeah, and that segues quite nicely into you, Yuge.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose I've got a slightly different view. I prefer win-lose cricket. You know, if I totally get where Steve's coming from and that there's a place for it, but I think that place would be maybe over 2 days of cricket instead of one. And the reason I say that is, you know, you look at the format that we're playing now, specifically in our divisions, we play 45 over when it's limited over, and we play either 55/45, so 100 over cricket over. So from my perspective, it's not that big of a gap in the overs, if we can call them that. Again, you know, the challenge there is how do you make sure you utilize the overs correctly? I get there's a tactical element to it, but maybe it's just the frustration of not being able to bowl a side out that sometimes gets to
But isn't the point there they use that, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and it is worth noting that, you know, when cricketers are asked about this, and the ECB has done survey research on it, a significant number want to play overs cricket. The majority want to play overs cricket. I mean, the thing that occurs to me is always that it depends very much on what you understand the game of cricket to be all about. And I, like Steve, grew up assuming that you had to score quite a lot of runs and get the opposition out. And if you didn't, then you hadn't done enough. So you didn't deserve to win the game. And I think part of that is that it's about deserving it. If you don't go over the go that extra mile, then the game, there is no result. And I think in this day and age, there's too much where you give wins away easily. It's, you know, so if someone has to win all the time, then that logic doesn't work at all. You're just giving away the wins. And I remember watching in ice hockey where they banned draws. You had to have a penalty shootout in the National Hockey League in North America because they didn't really want to have no win. And I couldn't get it. I thought, if neither side has scored enough goals to win, it's a draw. There is no win. And in cricket, that would mean bowling the opposition out. So I think we give wins away too easily, Yuge. It's too easy to win a game. Yeah. You've got to work damn hard to win it if you need to bowl people out.
There is another way. You just win the toss and put the opposition to batting all the time. You know, think about
that. How do you mean? Talk me through that.
Well, so, you know, you obviously win the toss, you put the opposition in. Yep. They don't have to be all out. Yep. They can be. They might think that they need to set a bigger number, therefore they go a bit harder.
I don't really get that. I mean, I get that could work, but in 2011, I think it was, one of our seasons rather in Division 2, I think it must have been. Carlos captain, anyway. He always used to win the toss. It was all-time cricket, and he batted. Right, and his logic was, we'll score shed loads of runs, and the opposition knows that they have to score shed loads of runs in the reply. And if they don't, they get 1 point. And it's hardly worth turning up for 1 point. So they used to go for it. And with Parminder bowling, with other attacking bowling options, it was the best way to win the game. The problem we had was chasing. If we had to chase a load of runs, we had too many players play too many shots and we'd be bowled out. So the time version of the game produced really positive cricket. None of these defensive field positions, none of saving runs for saving runs' sake. You had to get them out. And the way you did it was by putting a lot of runs on the board and by really selling to them, go on then, if you're that good, knock off 280, we'll see you at the end. And we won, now let me get this right, 18 games in a season. We won 8, we lost 8, and we had 2 rained off. We didn't have a single draw all season, and we came third, losing 8 games.
Yeah, I think that the timed aspect of the game, it creates those moments with the 5 slips, 2 gullies, 8 men around the bat. It creates that that test of will about that number 10 batsman who's been telling his skipper for years he should be batting higher up the order, and actually the fate of his team rests on him. It requires a different type of bowler who can get people out rather than limiting runs. And frankly, if I look back over the last 10 years of playing cricket, I reckon that 8 or 9 of my 10 best memories will have been fielding second and bowling a side out to win a game. And that's for me.
As a captain?
Or a player. Yeah, I just adore it.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. You look around the field at 6 o'clock-ish and you're thinking, right, I need 4 wickets. Where the hell am I getting them from? And if you do it, then the buzz there is great. I totally buy where you're coming from in the sense that if people want it, Yuge, and they do, then we have to go down this route. We can't do things that people don't want, otherwise they stop playing cricket.
Correct, as well.
So yeah. I'd buy that. The one thing I would stick against, though, is that it breeds negative cricket. You have four men in the circle, point, square leg, wide mid-arm, wide mid-off, long on, long off, two out on the boundary sweeping, and then one somewhere else. You know, it's just formulaic stuff. You go through the motions, and it's defensive. If you've got to bowl people out, well, you ain't going to do it doing that. And it just makes people more positive. And that's the only thing I balk at, because I don't think people get that. I don't think people read the game well enough to get that. And that's where I'd make my stand, Watsy. Just, it breeds positive cricket. If you don't like it, cool, we'll just play negative cricket.
Yeah, valid and point taken. I think the other thing that we've seen is, you know, specifically in the Prem First Division, you're seeing coloured kit come in. So it definitely is moving slightly more towards that. I mean, it's still limited overs. It's just carrying on with the way that we see TV cricket now, in that the colours and the pink ball and all of that now seems to be creeping in. And I'm pretty sure soon it'll start moving down to some of the other sides that are in the, yep, in the leagues.
Can I just say about coloured cricket and about people not getting the game? I had a wonderful line at Teddington. I'm not going to say who said this. I'm not even going to say which club they were linked to. But one of the guys there said, this is all wrong. You know, Teddington and Twickenham, they're both wearing green. They're sort of shades of green. What, you know, that's not the way it should be. And somebody else just turned around and said to him, well, we normally wear white. What's the problem?
That
and I thought it was a nice
good
line. I thought, yeah, in the great scheme of things, I'm not sure it's a big, not a particularly valid point. But anyway, enough of such things. I think I'd love to have this pod in 10 years' time, guys, and see where we are. And I suspect we'll be playing shorter games.
2020,
yeah,
I expect.
Yeah, that are all overspaced. But that's cool, you know, because if people want it, we've got to keep them playing. That's the real issue here. In terms of the way you guys fared at the weekend, Time Cricket didn't treat you awfully well. Would that be right in saying that, Watsy?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's funny, isn't it? And again, this is the influence of, sometimes the influence of not just our overs cricket, but what people watch on TV and the way that people develop now. There's a load of positives in the way that younger players developing to play the game as batsmen, and the shots they play and the run rates they can score at. But then there's that piece about really valuing your wicket, isn't there? And I think, you know, when you get in on a green seamer, like we went over to Norwich, pretty much, not Norwich,
again,
sorry, Birmingham, not, yep, not Norwich, Edmonton, to play. But they're a nice ground that with a covered wicket, but that unfortunately got a bit wet and was very much a green top. I'm not going to blame everything, though, on the wicket. You know, I think we were bowled out. We were 18 for 5, eventually bowled out for 70, thanks to an excellent rear guard effort from Robbie Bozier. I think 7 out of our top 8 got out playing expansive shots. Actually, I was the only person to get out playing a defensive shot, but I'm horribly out of nick at the moment. But again, it is that point of just being able to dig in, because the game ended up very close, very close. We had Bronsbury 31 for 5 with a player retired. We had a very tight LBW shout that wasn't given. And we had and the same batsman must have played or missed 25 to 30 times. And any one of those, it hits the edge, and we'd have won the game, I think. And if we'd had 100 runs on the board, I think at 31 for 5, they would have looked at it and felt they were too far away, and probably we would have got the job done. So, you know.
But you also bowled, you were playing, I mean, it's the theme of the day, really. Owen Morgan's obviously scored 174 sixes for England this afternoon, an Irishman playing for England. David Block, right? He's an Irishman.
Blocker, yes.
Opens the bowling for Bronsbury. I remember him as Bronsbury 2 skipper. He's quite a wily old soul, and I'd imagine that Blocky was quite hard to face, wasn't he, on a wet one?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got a lot of guile. He's a good bowler. You know the players that he's going to get out are the ones that look at his speed and go, oh, God, we can smash him out. Yeah, exactly. And they hit it straight up in the air, and that's exactly what happened. And I believe he's now got 25 league wickets this season in 6 games. So an average of something like 6 or 7.
Wow.
But it is the looking at TV, watching the shots people play, and then getting on a real two-paced green top and trying to play the same way. Didn't really work, so yeah, it's look, it was a challenge, but it was a game that could have gone either way. We responded so well in the field. I was really proud of the team. Leads us on really well to next week, I think.
Wasn't just you, was he? Wasn't just you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, one thing about David Block, actually, I remember when I was second team skipper, he commuted a whole season to captain Bronsbury 2s from Munich. And I remember one game at Bronsbury where we played four overs, I think it was, and the rain poured down, and he basically went back to the airport. I think he was going home that evening to go back to Munich. Now, there's a man who's reasonably committed to what he's doing.
So wow.
Fair play to him for that. But you're right, Yuge, the threes were not alone. If I, you know, our five Saturday sides, starting with the ones, they got 85. Two's got 75, albeit, you know, 75 for five in a rained off game. Yeah,
losing draw.
Get to that in a mo. 70 for the threes. The fours, honourable exception, which we'll get to in a minute, and the five, 68. So there is, of course, a pattern going through there. The three sides that batted first were the sides that were all out for 70, 85 and 68. And the sides that batted second either weren't all out, as you boys use, or scored 165 for one. So, you know, saying batting first, it definitely did make a difference across the county. Carlos has picked up on that as well. He made a comment that most sides who picked up heavy points at the weekend batted second because of the nature of the wickets. But that's a summer in England for you, I guess.
I think 10 of the 15 were bowled out for under 100.
Yeah, the stats were pretty clear. The fours, of course, remain an honourable exception. And we have to mention Nitin Parab, 110 not out. Fantastic performance from Nitin.
Yeah, it's really good.
I believe it was a great century. And I mean, 165 is, you know, for one, is an impressive chase. And as the fours go marching on at the top of the table. I have a couple of questions for you here, guys. Nitin is now, you won't be too surprised to hear, the leading run scorer in the club in league cricket.
Yep.
It is no longer Hinay Dasani, which, you know, he'll no doubt put this right in weeks to come. But as things stand, it's Nitin, 179 runs at 59.6. Second place, Scott Newman, 169 runs at 28.1. And third place, Benlil Green, 168 at 33.6. Now, the reason I mention this is that the ones have won one game out of six. And yet, two of the three top three run scorers are first team players. What do you make of that?
Tough gig. I think, you know, in years gone past, there's been a couple of people that have, you know, carried the team, if we can call it that. They've scored big runs now. I mean, you know, six games in, they would have scored 300-400 runs already. And this year, unfortunately, it's just one of those where no one has managed to get some decent runs under their belt. And unfortunately, they're all doing it at the same time.
Well, I think, the way I'd read those stats, though, Yuge, is that the ones play on better tracks, right? Sure, they're better players. That's why in the ones, not the twos, the threes, or the fours, or the fives. But they play on better tracks, which should make batting a bit easier. But I think the whole club is struggling for runs. That's why I think Scott Newman's sort of net sessions are absolutely vital here, because he has scored runs at the top level, and he's a worldly wise coach. And I think if we're gonna pick up a bit here in terms of being competitive, we simply need to score more runs. And I think picking Scott's brains makes a lot of sense. And that's the plan, isn't it, folks? I think we had a real push this week to try and get more people to nets.
Yep, that is correct. So Thursday, we've got a big net session all at St. James's this week, because there's a Colts game that's on the green. So, yeah, Thursday from 5:30 on the green, if you're available, come down for the net sessions. There's going to be a good 60, 70 of us we're hoping for. So, yeah, Scott's got a lot planned. Definitely somebody that we want to learn from.
I mean, we just need to get more runs on the board, don't we, as a club? That's one of the challenges. In terms of the bowling stats, now, I'll just throw, who's top of the bowling stats, guys? Who's taking the most wickets? Let's leave averages.
I'm not going to have to go Hinay, right?
Spot on. 18 league wickets.
Always.
Yeah.
Who's second? Any ideas?
I'd go Phil Nash.
No. He's up there in the top five, but it's Ishi Singh Sohi. Okay.
Oh, of course.
13 wickets so far at 13. Of course, he got six for the week. Now, who's third? Any guesses? Taking 12 wickets at 14.
Knuckle, maybe?
Nope. What's he? Who's your guess?
Dom Thamby.
Nope. Oh. I haven't got his stats in front of me. It's not Dom. It is the Harminator.
Yes.
Of course, he got
a five for last week. I think he picked up a couple this week as well. Harmeet Singh, third in the bowling wickets taken list. So if you're listening, Harmeet, well done, fella. Looking and sounding good. For good measure, of course, not always about batting and bowling. It's also about fielding. Who's taken the most catches in the league this season? Any guesses, folks?
that's a tough one.
This person's taking five.
Five? Not a keeper, obviously.
Correct.
Not Connor Finney, no?
Nope.
No. Oh, mate.
Dan Taylor?
No, although he is, I think he was four, I think.
Yeah.
Not Aussie. He took 3 in 1 game.
Not Aussie, although he was up there.
Go on, Dan. Put us out on misery.
Well, Eugene, I thought you might have known who this was. 5 catches for Eugene Berger. Safer stands in the crowd.
Yeah.
But it's something about
the I did drop one on Sunday.
If you no, this is just league cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at dismissals of all round in the field, it basically includes runouts. And Nihal Tomar makes sure that all the runout stats get in there if he can possibly uncover them. We then have 3 people who've had 5 dismissals, and all of them are in the twos. I don't know what it is. Are you catching more than other folks? So you add in there Nashi and Knuckle.
Knuckle, yeah. So DT's got to be up there too.
He must be on 4, I think. But yeah, so the twos, clearly, you guys are taking your catches, right?
Yeah, we are. We're playing some pretty good cricket, Dan. It's just been one of those past couple of games where we just haven't got over the line. There's been very tight games, unfortunately, and this weekend was another case in point where, you know, we had them, 75 for 5, and, you know, they did very well to get up to the total they got to, around 170 or whatever it was. And then, I have to say, you know, the chase that we started quite well. I say quite well. We had 2 wickets down, but then steadied the ship. And, 75 for 5 after 25 overs, we settled the ship, and we were looking to try and get over the line. And it's funny me talking about winning cricket, getting a losing draw out of that game might have an effect at the end of the season. So, I think your old adage came in, Dan, if you don't win.
Absolutely. And it's worth remembering Stanmore, that they weren't a mid-table sort of journeyman team, played 5-1-5 Stanmore.
So, yeah, they top of the log,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to say as well, one moment I liked came from Pitch Vision, obviously, because I seem to be obsessed with this damn thing. The Kev Kavir dance, have you seen this? Or the jig?
I haven't. I heard about this, but I'm definitely going to go and look at it.
Did you pick it up, Watsy?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited to.
Well, obviously there's been a bit of dancing on Pitch Vision already this year from, people like me. And what happened was it was a run out, one of the Stanmore guys.
Two brothers, and Nashi ran somebody out.
Yeah, the ball went to Nashi. I assume he was pretty straight mid-wicket. He pinged it into Steve Cowley, who knocked the bails off, and it's where Pitch Vision's at its best. It's fantastic sort of view of this. Kev was at first slip, and he basically ran straight across towards Nashi with a nice little hop, skip, step, and a jump. Looked a bit like an Irish jig. Think that. And I thought, that's one. It's not only me that does silly things when positive stuff happens on the cricket field for us. So have a look at that one. I think it's worth a gander.
Yeah, definitely will. Yeah.
Cool. So this coming week then. Obviously, you're back, Hughes. You didn't play last week, did you? Because of work commitment.
No, yeah, back this week.
Feeling positive? Availability looking good?
Yeah, availability is probably the best it's been for throughout the year, if I'm honest. So, yeah, it's going to be, selection is very tough as it is. Obviously, doing relatively well so far, mid-table, with a couple of games coming up still. So we've still got 3 more until the halfway point. We're looking positive, in the twos, that's for
and
sure.
And you're going to Kenton?
I am. I've never played there, but I have heard a story that if you hit the ball over the side screen, it counts as 4.
The things may have changed. I've played at Kenton a few times, but not for a few years. And it's small, right? And you've got 2 games going on at once, okay? You'll have another game at the bottom of the hill. And the boundary basically runs through the square. So there'll be a run.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's a boundary for both sides. And on the other side, there's a hedge, and you have to hit it over the hedge to get 6. Okay, so you have to hit it over the rope on that side. You have to hit out the ground. And it's basically a local rule that's always been in existence. Having said that, I've never got anywhere near it in a 6 at Kenton. I think something about small grounds that make people who don't hit 6s often, like me, get all excited and just never do it.
It's been a year of firsts for me, Dan. I played for the first time with a tree in the middle of a field, or on a plain field, should I say, not in the middle. That was obviously East Coast. And now I have to hit the ball over a hedge, apparently, to hit a 6. So, yeah, I am enjoying this. This has been very good.
Suffice it to say, though, Yuj, I know that you can hit a long ball, but you don't have to hit a particularly long ball to get a 6 at Kenton. I think it's fair to say smallest ground in Middlesex.
not going to go for Morgan's record this weekend, that's for sure.
You've brought back a horrible memory for me. It's just made me feel sick. That was my school first 11 debut. We played at Magdalen College, and they had a tree on their pitch. And not really knowing the rules, I chased the ball down to third man and basically threw the ball up, rattled into the tree's branches, which counted as four buzzers.
Good effort, Steve.
That's true.
I like that. Yeah. Trivia question for those who are that way inclined. There are five grounds where first-class cricket has been played with trees in the outfield. I'll leave that one there till the next podcast. I think most people get one. Most Brits will get one.
Yeah, I get one.
Yeah, Canterbury. There's another one in SA.
Hey,
Yep. And Middlesex have played first-class cricket on another. I'll just leave that out there.
Come on, let's let the audience see if we can come in with some answers for that. That's a great question.
Yeah, there's five. What's the any thoughts on any? Obviously, Canterbury's one. Can you?
No, I can only think. What is it? A tree in the ground?
Yep.
In plain field,
I don't know. No, sorry, that's poor.
That is rubbish. Yeah.
I've got, apart from Magdalen College now, I've got no idea.
Okay, well, leave it there. Let's see if the audience can come back to us on this. Preferably without Googling, because I guess you will find out if you Google. Although, saying that, I'm not sure you'll find all five, because one of them's reasonably left field. But I'll leave that there. What's he? Saturday, home to Southgate?
Home to Southgate, big game. You know, we're third from the bottom now. Trying not to get ourselves in the position we got into last year. Very pleased to have some of my key guys back, Anu Agarwal, Connor, and possibly the return of a mercurial legend of Jess Stoffert as well. Who might be doing a bit of an Andre Russell, but getting him on the field in any form will be worth it. So,
well, there are many similarities between Andre Russell as much as Jeff Stoddard does, but apart from that,
I feel good about this weekend. We might, I don't know, we may see Feroz back down here for Southgate. He's been sort of playing a bit for their twos or threes. It'd be good to see him if we do. This is moving time now, isn't it? This is the time when the kids finish their exams, some of the sides start to get a bit stronger. I think that'll be good for us as well.
Yeah. Well, Southgate have lost their last three, if that helps. So that they're not flying high, as it were.
They're not, but we've got a bit of work to do as well. So, you know, this is going to be a tense game and could really set the tone of how the sort of, you know, the future of the season looks like, whether we're going to be looking up or down.
Fair call. I think the ones are feeling that they're, you know, they're in a similar sort of pivotal position at the moment as well. They've obviously had a rough trot of late, and they are on the green against Stanmore.
Yeah,
I think Stanmore might have won the last three as well. But certainly, I think the issue with the ones is simply that they've got to get the runs on the board. You're not going to win many games with 120, 130, 140 runs. So best of luck to Carlos and the boys. Yeah,
did you see who turned up for Stanmore last week, Dan?
Do I want to know this?
It is who you're thinking of, and I think he might be playing this weekend.
Wonderful. So clearly they're going to have to score a few runs.
Okay.
We'll follow that one with interest, obviously. The fourth team, I'm not sure what to say about the fourth team anymore. Played 6-1-6, flying along at the speed of light, 23 points ahead of third place already.
They're like the mid 1980s West Indies, aren't they? At the moment, with their under the guise of Hinay, this is the dream he's lived for his whole life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Nitin Parab, he's sort of Larry Gomes in the middle area.
Larry Gomes.
There's a name. Only me and you know him. What's he?
You've got Miran Marshall. So, yeah,
Miran Marshall. Yeah, that's where Miran Iqbal is back and taking wickets. Who's Dasani? Which are the fast bowlers?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it?
He's a bit slower than Andy Roberts.
Yeah, he might be maybe a medium paced Joel Garner.
Medium paced Joel Garner. Hinay, if you're listening, that is a compliment. He was a great bowler. They are on the road. They're going to Southampstead. I always find Southampstead one of those clubs that they can be good or they can be not so good. And really never know what sort of Southampstead side are going to be turning out. So best of luck there in the fifths at Broome Road against... and this is why I love the regionalisation that's in. You know the fifths are playing this week, Yuge?
No.
Winchmore Hill.
Lovely.
Yeah. Couldn't get any further away. Apparently it's because Winchmore Hill thirds, I think it is, are in the division below, or there's some complication that meant that Winchpool Hill had to be an R regionalised part of the structure. But there we go. So the fifths are at home, no doubt looking to you know, to get back on the winning path with all their Roman emperors.
Yep, that was
You don't know what we're talking about there. Just listen to last week's masterclass from Chris Wilde in ancient Roman history in the pod. You know, all will become clear then. Also, Sunday we see the MDL kicking off.
Yeah, that's true.
And Connor Finney is very much taking that taking charge of that, and we've been in touch about their plans. I think I can't remember who they start with actually, but I think they're away. I tell a lie. They're playing.
No, he's at home.
Yeah, they're playing Hampton Hill at home, aren't they?
He's very excited. He's good. Like a kid before Christmas Eve. So not before Christmas, on Christmas Eve. So yeah, I think we're going to see. I think the MDL is going to become an exciting thing this year. I think it'll be good.
Super. Have we got a lot of players keen to play, Steve? You know, have you spoken to Connor about this?
Yeah, he's been pretty meticulous in his recruitment. I think he's lined up the guys that he wants to be his over 21s as well. To really give them that role of properly developing these young guys to come through and create that link, you know, that true link from the Colts into the first team that we know is critical and something that we want to do better at. So, yeah,
absolutely. And I think Connor's the right man for that. He's very enthusiastic. He's going to play himself, so he'll be able to see this close up, how things are developing, and definitely wish the MDL boys all the best. Anything else we need to say, boys, about the coming weekend? You're all obviously very positive about it.
Can the sun shine, please?
That would be lovely.
That seems like, to me at least, a very fair observation. One last question, Watsy. How's Sam Cliff getting on? I ask because I believe you're punishing him, as it were, as his boss, if certain issues come up in the office. Is this right?
Yeah, he's got exceptionally sore arms at the moment. He's done round about 100 press-ups over the course of the last 3 or 4 days.
On what basis?
On the basis of every time he mentions his blooming batting average, which he can't keep out of any conversation, work or personal. You know, if it's not talking about that, he's talking about that every, you know, whatever length the ball's pitched, it's in his slot. So, yeah, he deserves every push-up he gets. I've been
We're going to get Sam Cliff bingo, aren't we, before long, with these cliches. Yeah.
What is his average?
Oh, just...
Too many.
Please go home. It's time to go to bed when you're asking that.
Cliffy, if you're listening, mate, I hope you have a big 90 not out on Saturday and keep going. Keep going. Keep getting on Watsy's nerves because it means that.
Get those readings.
Yeah, more Twickenham sides are likely to be winning if you're doing that. So you keep it up, fella.
Indeed.
Cool. On that note, guys, let's, as you said, hope for warmer weather at the weekend. Very best of luck to you two and to all the other Twickenham CC boys. Who will be turning out, and look forward to hearing another update next week. So thanks very much.
Thanks, Sam.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
Good evening and welcome to the Twickenham CC podcast. My name's Dan Huff and I am Secretary of the Club. I have three esteemed gentlemen with me here this evening. On my right, I have Steve Watts, third team skipper. Hi, Steve.
Hello, everybody.
I also have second team skipper and chief braai maker, Eugene Berger.
Good. Hello, everyone.
And very pleased to welcome, for the first time on the pod, our club coach, Scott Newman.
What a pleasure it is to be here.
And an honour, I'm sure, Scott, and an honour.
Of course.
Great to have you on board. It's been a while since we've done a pod, and my goodness me, we've got plenty to talk about. I mean, where do you begin, fellas? I guess you begin at Lords.
No.
Go on.
I think we start at Teddington, don't we?
That's a fair case. A fair case to be made. But I think we'll get to Teddington in due course. Because, of course, England have won a World Cup, fellas. First time ever. And we all witnessed it in our own ways, in different places.
what do you make of Yuge as a South African looking at all of this? Were you as ecstatic as we were?
It was a fantastic article for the game of cricket. I would contest that they won it. They have a trophy. Did they really win it?
Yes, next question.
Obviously, sticking up for the neutrals, yeah, it was a great game of cricket. England were very, very good on the day. You know, it's really interesting to see because nothing separated the teams apart from boundary hitting, Dan. So does that mean that the leave shot has to be put away and people have to have a swing and hit more boundaries now?
No. You're being deliberately provocative, Eugene. Watsy, help me out here.
Well, I bet Mitch Santner wishes he hadn't left the last ball of the New Zealand innings. That might have made things a little bit different. So maybe the leave shot should be put away.
My defence of this is you leave a few at the beginning so you're seeing the ball better later on. There's no point playing the big shots when you're not in. But that would be my defence. Scott, any thoughts?
Well, the most important runs came off a two, didn't it?
It did.
Deflected for four.
Yep.
Then wrongly given a six.
Well, I was going to ask you that as somebody who's played a lot of first-class cricket. I mean, there was a debate about whether it should have been a five or a six. What's your take on that?
The umpires are there. They're there to make the decisions, and you normally just go with what they tell you. I mean, I played in a 2020 game at the Oval. We asked the umpires how many runs do they need to win, and they said three. And we said, are you sure? And they said, yep, two, they won't win it. So ball got hit to mid on. We let them get two, safe run out. We celebrated.
Wow.
scorers came on the pitch and went, oh, no, it's a tie. We've got to go to a bowl out, actually. It was a bowl out. So they can get it wrong.
That was for Middlesex or for North?
For Surrey, yeah.
Wow.
The main county.
Wow. We are being provocative this evening. Leave alone to criticise. Surrey bigged up.
Shots fired.
This is going to be an interesting half hour. So your take on it is it's the umpire's call to make. I mean, I bet the players on the field have no idea.
No, not a clue. You wouldn't. You know a few laws, but, you know, the umpires and the third umpire and the match referee are all at hand and they through the earpieces. So they gave the signal of six. The third umpire, if he said, no, it's five, he could have easily changed that decision. So, look, people sit there and go, oh, this is not fair, you know, in hindsight. But in that moment, both teams were happy. New Zealand didn't run up and go, no, that was fine.
I've not seen any Kiwis say it wasn't fair.
No, exactly.
Yeah, two points. I mean, the first one is, it seemed to everyone, common sense seemed like it was six because he was grounding his bat for his second run. And then obviously the next act potentially was that it hit the bat and went for four.
Well, that is the word, isn't it? Act.
But yeah. The other piece is Ben Stokes doesn't play that shot final ball of the innings if he needs more than one to tie and take it into a super over. It was a full toss.
I mean, that
wasn't
made to do that. I mean, I spoke to a few guys about that. So to have the composure to get a fully or just at the last ball, you know, I know what I would have done. I would have been looking at the scoreboard going, right, I need to hit this out of the park.
Yeah.
You know, to have that composure at that point, at that tournament, everything to go, right, one's got us a super over. If we get two, we've won. Yeah. I think that was the best part of the whole, weirdly, the best part of the whole chase.
Yeah, clever cricket.
And also, I mean, the standard of fielding. I mean, through the last hour of that game, I mean, Roy made a mistake in the super over, didn't he?
Yeah.
But that aside, I mean, I just thought it was phenomenal.
But then he made up for, he got the winning run out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Apart from maybe Trent Bolt's fielding on the on the boundary.
Should he have got his feet in the right place, or is that a bit harsh?
I think the outfield's very similar to Twickenham's at Lords, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I've always thought that.
I was trying to figure out why I didn't let it go earlier. I mean, he did let it go. You know, normally, 99% of the time, I reckon if Trent Bolt takes that catch 100 times more, every single time he will throw it before his foot hits
the... Well, I don't think he realised how close he was to the boundary. I think it was only when he hit the boundary he thought,
oh boy,
bugger.
But, yeah.
I heard a theory that as he was catching it, Guptill called him, and perhaps that scrambled his... You know, when you get sort
whose
of
theory was
too
that?
Many input puts at the same
whose
time.
Whose theory?
Whose theory was
Ine
it?
Ine Dasani, no.
I can't remember.
That is rubbish then. Yeah.
So he would have called in to say, careful, you're near the rope? Or what
no,
say?
No, no, no. Like, to knock it back to him.
Oh, okay.
Just as he was catching it, and perhaps that scrambled him a little bit.
Yeah.
Was...
Those two sixes were so important. Well, the phenomenal. One that went along the floor and the other one that was stood on the boundary. Yep. Just shows you what a game of fine margins this is that we play.
If you look back at the tournament, you look at India losing, you know, Pakistan not going through. Like the thing was set up, wasn't it, for Pakistan not to go through. Teams would have played different teams, as in the last four would have been different, would have played different things, and that's what cricket comes down to, I think, just timing and a bit of rub of the green, a bit of luck here and there.
And it's always small margins, isn't it? Because the thing that occurred to me was Jofra Archer's five wides in, was it the last over or the penultimate over?
That was off Wokes.
No, I'm talking about in the first game.
Oh, right.
I'm sure it was Jofra Archer who bowled a comical five wides, where I remember Josh Butler tried to stop it with his feet.
Oh, went over his knee.
Went over his knee. Yeah. And I'm thinking, what the hell are you doing, Archer? Just bowl it properly. And it's fine margins. You know, if you'd not done that, then arguably we'd have been in a much better
position. You
only
look at fine margins when the game is that close. Yeah. So you don't, you know, good teams do that. It's 40, you know, if a team gets 315, you get 200. Mm. You don't go, you actually look at the fine margins. Yeah. So actually, you know, one thing, we gave them too many extras, so we gave you 20 runs here. So often, you know, we do that in club cricket. If you have a tight game, you come in, your poor guy in the corner's just misfielded one at backward point, gone, oh, it's your fault. You know, you let four through your legs.
Whereas you've got 13 wides that you bowled earlier in the day. Yeah. Never think of those. Yeah.
It's been a ruiner of Sundays for years, like looking back on the day before.
Yeah, never do that.
It happened last Sunday until the World Cup took it over.
But I think, I mean, obviously, we all watch a lot of cricket. It's the greatest game of cricket I've ever seen. And you know, I'm a sad bastard. I've watched far too much cricket in my life. But I think as a game, you know, I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. You know, and given the situation, given the stage. And, you know, I was watching it with a couple of Americans who'd never seen any cricket ever before. And even they were getting right into it. So, I mean, you know, what a fantastic spectacle.
Oh. I think it was written, you know, some of the stuff is written in the stars. So, obviously, went terrestrial TV, World Cup final. I don't think that would have been on terrestrial if it was anywhere else in the world. I don't think they could have bought the rights off Channel 9 or Star TV or whatever. Correct. And then to have a game like that.
But savvy move by Sky. So many people now want to get into cricket. Where are they going to have to watch it? Sky.
But
so
that, I mean, that would that will be interesting, because I don't think it will change that. It won't suddenly bring in 1,000 kids, because cricket is an expensive sport to play. Yeah. So unless the ECB actually gives some money to state schools to be able to provide decent coaches, and there's loads of them around, to actually say, look, let's do an after-school club, a proper club for who's interested, and actually get coaching, rather than Tim that's just turned 19, got his level 2 and running Chance to Shine courses.
They did do some of that, if I remember correctly, because we applied for some funds from the Cricket World
that
Club.
That was Chance to Shine.
Yeah.
But that's no good.
Yeah, okay.
I coached Chance to Shine stuff, and I'm not saying it's no good, it's an introduction, but I'm saying to actually produce cricketers from a different part of the world, a different part of the country or another source of the country, it needs proper funding, and I think they could do that. Quite easily.
Makes sense.
And the odd thing is, the Sky deal, for all its multiple sins, brings in a lot of money.
Yeah,
correct. Well, so the money is
absolutely
there.
Here's a question. Channel 4, free to air. I'm interested in the stats of how many people watched it on Sky versus how many people watched it on Channel 4. And to see if those numbers actually, was it free to air? Does that mean that the ECB need to look at something for next year to make it more popular? You know,
I know that when England last won the Ashes here, on that decisive Saturday, there was more people watching a rerun of Columbo on ITV4.
Right.
Columbo, the detective, Scott will know it, Watsy will know it. So there's more people watching a repeat of Columbo than when England won the Ashes on that Saturday afternoon.
Columbo.
It's brilliant, to be fair. Come on. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a tough call. And Wimbledon finals are, you know, not in the same
what a day.
But it was about 8.5 million watched it, I think, at the high point. So I don't know the split.
I think it was a 4.5 mil average, and I imagine that I think Wimbledon final was about 9, which is, you know, obviously a shame in some ways that they had to share the same day. But even so, I would imagine 3.5 of that 4.5 came off of terrestrial.
Yeah. And we haven't even mentioned the Grand Prix.
Well, it is worth noting, as I mentioned to you guys before, I was in Beijing in a pub where there was 3 sporting events on, really, and some Gaelic football, which with all due respect, no one was watching. All of them were in, you know, 30 minutes of central, not 30, an hour of central London. So, you know, it's phenomenal how British sport, when on days like that, really is the centre of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell you what, we had it at the club. We definitely felt it.
Well, I was going to move on to that, actually. Obviously, I wasn't around here at the club on Sunday, but it looks like it was a phenomenal day. Can you talk us through it? You were here all day, right?
I was. Well, mostly.
In a good state, weren't you, as well?
Yeah, definitely in a good state. It was a very good Saturday night, too. So, yeah, it was.
Marvellous.
I tell you what, I don't think I've seen that many Colts and that many seniors.
Talk us through what happened to you. There was games on the green, right?
Yep, games on the green. So there was four Colts games on the green, followed by a losers' final and a winners' final. So that went
you
on
call
from...
You called it the losers' final, did you?
What do you call it?
It's participation, mate.
Yeah, there'll be something or other that's not losers.
The plate.
The plate.
Right. Yeah. The plate and then the final. Yeah. And that was, cricket went on from about 10 o'clock up until about 6 o'clock. So just before the finale of the cricket. Barbecue all day, or braai, packed house. I reckon there must have been 60 adults that were in here. And towards the end, I don't know, there must have been about 40 Colts in here too. So a really, really fun, filled, packed day.
Were you around as well, Scott? Were you involved in the...
I was in the morning. We did the All-Stars presentations in the morning. And then I had to leave to... actually gone on a date, unfortunately, so that was quite annoying.
Oh, tell us more.
Did you watch the cricket?
So, you know, trying to persuade someone to go into a pub. So then I was looking on my phone to check the scores. So then when it got nearer the end, like the last 10 overs, I suggested we went back to hers to watch, because I knew it was on terrestrial TV.
It wasn't a first date.
Second or something.
Oh,
like that.
God, that's a big call, that is.
Nah, so it's fine. And then she thought, yeah, that's good. And then I just turned the TV on straight away. So first half hour, watched cricket, as you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she must know you've got a cricket background, right? So she should see that coming, no? In World Cup.
No, I told her I was a dolphin shaver. That's the way to go.
Start as you mean to go on.
Yeah.
Did you have your own super over?
I had my own second innings.
Very well played. You play with a straight bat?
Yeah. I have to say though, Scott, I mean, I was always told by my dad, actually, that never, ever start dating girls in the winter.
Full stop.
Nothing but trouble. But he always said, you know, you got to date them in the summer because then they understand what cricket is. He says, if you start in the winter...
But if you start in the winter,
yeah,
well, just dating, I know, but they can hide a lot of things in clothes. When it comes to summer... You could be like, hey, come and meet me out, it's hot. And you just go, Jesus, what's happened there?
Yeah.
Where's all this come from?
I like that logic. I never thought of it that way. But
at least they're exposed, isn't it? In the summer, it's open.
I like that. Yeah, yeah.
You have any thoughts on this, on dating strategies?
No.
No.
I'll leave that up to Scott.
Okay, this pod's going in an interesting direction.
Yeah. I was just going to say the best physical contact I had on Sunday was a Vokesy and Blunders sandwich just after the final ball.
I actually did witness that.
Yeah, it was. I'm just recovering now. But
I was quite excitable till you said that, Watsy. But it's
I might need an MRI after that.
That's a wind killer, isn't it?
Well, there we go. So Sunday was a success. I mean, I know that we spoke to Nigel Gordon earlier this evening, and he was saying bar takings went through the ceiling. You know, it was a pretty busy day, busy weekend. I think busiest on record ever.
Yeah, I'd go.
From what I've been led to believe. Saturday wasn't such a bad day either. Scott Wands playing Teddington.
Yeah. So funny thing was, it should be 2-1 against Teddington.
I was at the first game. I remember it.
Yeah. So. That was an umpire's decision as well that ruined a game. But I didn't realise the hype about playing Teddington.
In our history, only one captain has ever walked off a first or second team game having beaten Teddington.
Which I think is a load of bullshit, really.
I think so too, because it's two.
Yeah, but...
Now three.
Huh?
Yes. No,
talk me through this.
Teddington last year. I beat Teddington too.
I take it back. So it was me and you.
Yeah,
and it's
until now it's Carlos. There you go.
Well, then, I remember the first game and there was a lot of hype about it, saying we've got to win. I'm just like, I'm going to try not to swear, but I was like, who the hell are Teddington? Like, why are you giving a crap about a club team or an opposition? So what happens is you actually create the hype yourself about the opposition. Always you just create this hype. And the reason why you know, FA Cup is so brilliant is that sides go, hey, we've got nothing to lose. Yeah. So they go in, and when they're these giant killers happen, or club games, is that's why we all play club cricket, is that you should forget about the opposition, turn up, enjoy it, and then see what happens. No side should be dominating you for 12 years.
Yeah.
So now that that's happened, you know, obviously we're going to go, right, we'll do it for them for 12 years. Well, who knows? We might do, but the good thing is the monkey's off the back.
Well, last year, I think I'm right in saying it rained and they were something like 30 for 5.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Things like that build into it as well. But yeah. Now, I watched quite a bit on Pitch Vision, and Don seems to be back in decent nick, right?
Yeah, Don's played brilliantly. He's been a massive part of the last three wins that we had. We beat Richmond in this first of the three wins we've had, I think. Yes. Yeah.
Reigning champions?
Yeah, so he batted really well there on a good track. Guys bowled really well. The team is now just coming together, bonding really well. And I think because we had a few new players at the start of the year, and we still haven't got any rub of the green. You know, we talk about rub of the green and a bit of luck. You know, we chased 270 here the week before.
Yep.
And then again 220. Whereas before, as soon as the side got 200 at the green, everybody's asses are dropping out because they think it's too many runs.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you're a confident side here, 300 is probably par.
Yeah.
Like, the outfield's so quick. Yeah. I know it's really flat and doesn't bubble, so it's easy to field on. Yeah. But 300...
Every time I field out there, I wear a box and people laugh at me. You know, and it's like, guys, you know, you got to take the facilities into account here.
Do you use your box to stop the ball, though?
Oh, obviously, yeah.
How many times have you got hit in the box? None.
Serious question? Yeah, not many.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'm just going on percentages.
But joking apart, it's confident. I don't really care, do I? I go for the ball, full stop, and, you know, it doesn't really matter where it hits me in that sense. But so many people who field as if the ball is going to knock them out, well, you know, give yourself half a chance.
I'm just interested in the positions you're getting for the ball to hit you in the box.
I'd say it doesn't hit me much in the box. I would say that. You know, that is because I don't really care. I'm 44, so it doesn't matter anymore anyway. So
Majority of the time it used to hit you in the box is when you're trying to catch it, if I remember rightly.
But normally I would catch it after it hit me in the box. But yeah, that's a fair comment.
Yeah.
I also always wore a jumper as well. You get it in the jumper.
Yeah.
Jumper always helps. So.
Yeah, but I thought the guys bowled well Sunday too. We've got the two left armers, Parminder and then Parminder 2, who bowled really well in tandem. Seema's, Gurge is bowling probably the best I've ever seen him bowl. That's included when he was on the staff at Middlesex. They're there together.
Is that because he's probably not playing so much cricket anymore? Because he went for a period where he played a lot of cricket. He was playing for God's County, Shropshire, for a while. I mean, you know, what an honour that is. But
I don't think it's necessarily the amount of cricket. I just think he's more relaxed.
Right.
You know, I've just seen him bowl. He's bowled in good pace. He's probably actually bowled too well to get the wickets. But the week before, we used him to stop runs. You know, so I think he bowled 18, 19 overs the week before.
Yeah.
And then Val bowled brilliantly the other end, and he keeps improving every week. Plus, we had guys like George, who took 4 for at Richmond. Didn't even get a bowl. Carlos didn't need to bowl, so he bowled 4 bowlers, which was plenty. And so there's good signs. We'll see what happens. But
well, this week Harrison Mayers, I guess they're bottom of the log, aren't they? But you know, they've got a few players who can hurt you if you let them. So
yeah, so they got a team of three. I think they rely on 3 left arm spinners there. So look, again, I don't actually look at any side that we play against.
Yeah.
If we just keep doing what we're doing and keep the bond that we have and keep enjoying it like we are and stay relaxed, then the results will come our way.
Well, we're seeing that, aren't we, to be honest?
It's been
a really good 3 weeks.
Yeah,
so if I were to offer you 6th place in the table after week 18, would you take it?
No, we'll get higher than that. But I just want to make sure that filters down to the this belief filters through down the club. Obviously, it helps because we've got such a great turnout tonight at training.
We can give that
message.
There's
loads. So it's that confidence that has to keep leaking down, and that you're not thinking, oh, but what ifs. Just do your best to get your processes right, and it works. And then that when that starts feeding into the club, then you become a real successful club.
Yeah. and used twos on Saturday. Not your finest hour.
No, not. But you know, again, playing at a ground like Indian Gymkhana, knowing what happens in the second innings with their pitch, you know, I'd take a losing draw there most days.
They're second in the league as well, aren't they?
Correct. Right? Well, yeah. I mean, it's tough to say that too because you know, we got within 70 runs in the end, which you think to yourself, you know, had we have wickets in hand, maybe that's a slightly different. But, you know, I was very firmly of the Dan Hoff school of thought. If you don't win, don't lose. So, you know, we'll take the 1 point. Again, you know, looking back 2017 when we won the league, those draws that we got in actually helped a lot. And, you know, 20 points off from second.
Well, in the case of Indian Gym, the 1 point is sort of neither here nor there, but it's them not getting 10.
Yeah.
They're second. So yeah. They are the team you're going for.
Yeah, exactly.
So why would you throw it away and not...
So, yeah, I mean, it was one of those days where things just didn't go away. Drop catches, we seem to be dropping a few, which is not a good sign. When we started off the season, we were holding on to everything. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of just picking it up.
But, and you got a few runs yourself? You're not out at the end, right?
Yeah, not out. 51, I think it was.
Just you know it. We know it.
Of course
was.
I know.
How
it
many
was.
Balls?
51, 72.
There we go.
Can I just tell you, I put 49 in the Sunday review that I do, and straight away... Sorry, 51.
Exactly, yeah, of course.
And I would have done the same.
Every batsman knows what he scores. Absolutely. With how many balls. But, yeah, and look, I mean, Ethan scored some good runs.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Yeah. I can't count that high in terms of balls, not runs.
Yeah, look, I think the side is going to progress quite well now. We know what we need to do as a side. I think, you know, the confidence from the ones and specifically Scott in terms of mentality is filtering down. So, yeah, I think that, you know, this weekend has good things given that we play.
Cause, and it's Harris at Mary's again, right?
Harris at Mary's, yep.
And how did you do first time around?
We won our first three games. So we beat Indian Gym first round, we beat Harris at Mary's, and we, Dan, you'll remember the third game quite well.
Saturday, was it?
Yep. Yeah, okay. When we won off the last ball. So, yeah. Harris at Mary's, I think we bowled them out for 80 and we chased it down, 7 down, something like that, on a tough wicket. But, yeah, this weekend we're looking for maximum points. Weather permitting.
Is the forecast not looking too good?
Nope. Weather forecast is looking horrible this
really?
Weekend. Yeah, it's not looking very, very good this weekend.
It's thunder, so you just never know.
Yeah, that's you never know. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that on the iPhone?
No.
The old BBC. Yeah.
I've got. I'm the weatherman, Scott.
I think that the iPhone one's quite good.
Good. Yeah, well, let's have a look after this cast and make sure. We'll update you guys later on with the Twickenham forecast.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. John Petley, Michael Fish, and you know, crying, didn't realise.
Well, hang on. A lot of people might be pulling the rain card, Dan. That's what might be happening, true. You see. Yeah.
Will you?
Yeah, will me.
Hey! Leading from the front there, from this rain card playing. What's a tougher weekend for you guys?
It was, yeah, I was miserable on Saturday night, I've got to be honest. It's really a tale of two disciplines with our team at the moment. We have bowled and fielded the best in my 5 years as skipper this year consistently. We've got a lot of good bowlers at the club now. We've got a lot of depth. It was Kit Wilson's turn this week, who was absolutely brilliant.
But that's interesting because we used to be a batting club.
Yeah.
I thought all of the sides were stronger batting and bowling. So.
We played easily the best team in our league, Ealing, who are like a twos side, they're threes. Had Ali Dewhurst, the Cambridge first uni captain.
I didn't say Ali G then. That's not really left.
Yeah, we might... He would have probably bowled us out as well. You know, I was thinking if we can get these guys out of 180, 200, we've got a long batting lineup, we can win this. And we bowled them out of 157, surpassed all my expectations, and just felt like we were going to go and get the game. We batted down, you know, proper batsmen down to 8, and we just have a real issue at the moment, bat in hand, grinding it out.
Oh, is it big shots? Or
I think that's, we had it in the first team. And we didn't talk about it as much, but the message was is that someone needs to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then if everybody takes responsibility, you chase scores.
Yeah.
So what happens is sometimes you go, we've got loads of batting guys, everybody going, oh, this is easy then, and throw your wicket away, and before you know it, you're struggling. So I think it's important that people take responsibility, be the man, like that's the chat that you try and have, is that, come on, who wants to be man of the match today? Take responsibility to take the game out.
Well, I actually relayed a bit of advice you gave me, Scott, a few weeks ago about just playing in the V and getting yourself in and seeing the ball. And I do say, you know, I said that to the guys. It's about everyone contributing. The problem is then we had 7 guys who got 10 or above and didn't go on. And when you're chasing 157, to have 7 batsmen that get to 10, you know, and not win
the
game.
It's not good enough.
And I've been quite, in terms of a captain, quite very sometimes overly positive, and I've been saying, don't worry, guys, it's going to come. And this week it was, no, not good enough anymore. No. We've got to, next week, we've got to pull our socks up and we've got to all take the responsibility, because we've got a talented side, and we're performing in the field. You know,
but talent doesn't get you anywhere. It's not about talent.
It's about application.
Yeah, and like I said, the theme for the club should be about this taking, you know, responsibility, and you making sure you don't leave it up to the next guy in, put him under pressure to go and score the runs. You know, just take it on yourself, and then your jobs, everybody's jobs as captains, then becomes easier, because they don't. You know, you can just look forward to your Saturday and play your cricket rather than worrying about, you know, someone turning up and crying because they're not batting where they are and they don't understand. They're arguing about this. How many overs have I bowled? Just turn up, play your Saturday, enjoy it.
Agreed.
Give the captains a break.
Well, what I will say is Ealing, I think, have won 9 out of 10.
Certainly
8 out of 10, yeah. And we should have beaten them. We lost by 15 runs.
Yeah.
So how many did you need with the last pair of the crease?
Oh, the last pair. So I've got to make a mention. I mean, we were 30-odd short, but young Ali Jennings just turned 14. He showed everyone how to do it, to be perfectly honest. He played properly, you know.
Why is he batting so low?
He's a young man in his second game for the threes, and we have good batting side.
Is he a batter or a bowler?
He's a bowler. He can do both. But at the moment in men's cricket, He can bowl like a man, and you know, he's shown the right signs of technique. If he keeps batting like that, he will bat higher. You know, he's learning, but he showed a lot of responsibility actually. And if some of our more senior batsmen had played
to shove him up the order, because he showed responsibility last week, bat him ahead of everybody else, then people might get the clue rather than telling people.
Well,
just an option.
It's a good option if he wasn't on holiday, but yeah. Definitely. Yeah. But no, look, good signs to come. 8 games, we've got it.
And Hornsey this week, they are struggling. So, I mean, again, I take Scott's point, don't look at the opposition, but I think ultimately Hornsey are a side who you should be...
As soon as I say that to my team, that's not going to get the best result. Okay. And they've run a couple of games close recently, so I'm not... This is the time of the year where Colts come back. People from universities, you don't know what sort of side you're going to get. So we'll go over there expecting a strong team.
And also, the lower down you go, the more likely they are to be stronger at home than they are away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you've always got to factor that in. Fourths, fifths, fourths in particular, carried on in their...
Marching on.
Their merry way. Any news on that, guys?
Well, it was Blunders and Nihal show, wasn't it?
Nihal, big not out. He loves a red inker, that boy.
How many red inkers is that now? He's got to be close to that.
Yeah, but... The thing with Neil's red inkers, and I know Neil listens to this, is like he's really keen for a red inker when it's two not out. And I'm not saying like get out when you've got two, but I mean I was thinking a good red inker is like 20 not out or 30 not out.
Or 51 not out.
Or 70, yeah, or 51 not out.
68 not out. Yeah,
but 71 not out this week, now that's a serious red inker. So respect you to Neil, that's coming to the party big
time. But you've got to shout out and say, look, Neil's showing everybody
absolutely
his application, and him saying, well, I'm not going to give my wicket away, regardless whether it's, you know, two overs left.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to throw my wicket away.
Yeah. I mean, when you go in, you can't help it if you only need 10 to win.
Yeah, I know it's an easy thing to people go, oh, you know, it's a club thing, and oh, you're getting this. Well, he's putting his hand up and saying, I'm not going to get out.
Yeah.
It's a
and also, the team he plays for wins a lot. So, it says something, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And the fifths?
Did they get a losing draw this weekend? I'm trying to think.
They did.
Yeah, they did the same.
Took the strain a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were a fair distance behind, and I think it was a thou shall not pass.
Yeah.
Pass 1 point.
Chris Wilde did tell me about it. 27 overs.
Yeah.
To save the game
for fewer runs than 27.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, the Harrison Marys, they were playing top of the league.
Yeah.
You know that they were never going to win the game given the situation, so they dug in and.
Yeah.
What you got to do if you can't win, don't lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the good thing, we've got 6 teams out this Saturday.
That's the hope.
That's a great effort.
Do we know who the 6 are going to be playing?
Nope, not yet.
Not yet.
Hampton. No.
Is it? Yeah, okay.
I think it's always relatively late in the week, the 16 games are arranged, aren't they?
Depends on availability, etc., etc.
Okay.
But yeah.
I saw it. I thought that was all done and dusted.
No, not yet.
It's on the cards. I heard it was on the cards. guys, time's ticking. I was just going to ask one last question. World Cup, obviously, it's been fantastic, and I think we've all really enjoyed it. But what was your high point? Let's leave the final to one side, because it was such a phenomenal game of cricket. When you look back in 10 years' time, what will you think about with this World Cup? Do you want to kick off?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, but absolutely smashing Australia in the semi-finals for me will... You know, a decimation job. I think, look, it was the way that we struggled through to that place where we had four games to win and the other three finalists effectively, and that last run of games, you know, coming from a low point, the high pressure, and just seeing that team go up and up and up and proving they could play in a different way. You know, it wasn't just the smashing 380, and, you know, I think over the last 4 years, the one thing that we've been accused, I think, again, a stat over the last 4 years, we've had the seventh best one day international bowling attack in world cricket, and now, you know, we're the second best in the World Cup, and that's a complete team when you can do it with the ball as well as the bat. But
well, it's a bit like Liam Plunkett had it in a pretty solid World Cup, didn't it?
It was great to see that.
Ridiculous World Cup.
It still gives me hope that I can come back as a bowler watching Plunkett. Like,
moving on, Eugene. What? I should say, I watched a little bit of Nets tonight, and Watsy was pitching it very nicely with those leggers. Eugene?
I have to say,
South Africa won a game. That's the high.
Yes. Yeah, we helped you guys, didn't we?
You might have done.
Yeah, something like it. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. My highlight of the World Cup was the format. I thought
Don't start.
No, seriously. I thought the format brought the best of cricket out. You have a look at how, you know, New Zealand and Pakistan were tied on points and it had to be net run rate, and, you know, England had to win the last four games because it didn't all quite work out. And I can't think of that many dead rubber games, you know.
But had it gone as it should have gone, given form, there could have been 11.
But it didn't.
But it didn't, that's true. We're going to come back to this on a cold November night when we've got nothing else to discuss. I'm not going to
I'll be on holiday.
We had this pod, the same one that I predicted New Zealand to get in the final four. And,
you did, that's right, I remember that.
But I dramatically disagreed with you. I have softened my stance. I still prefer more sort of knockout style or smaller tables. But, you know, there was a lot of good cricket in that. And it, as you know, for 6 weeks there was a good game on every day. I mean, you know, sometimes in other World Cups there's been more dead rubbers than that. It was bloody good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
For me, it was a case of bat dominating ball throughout the whole tournament. There was only
that's interesting. Really? Weren't that many 300 scores though?
But yes. 300, I mean, like, it's 300 now, people just go, oh, it's rego. So, but yeah. I thought bat dominated ball on a lot of occasion. And I enjoyed some of the guys, how they were like Kane Williams and Rohit Sharma were unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Kane Williamson, what a man. A lot of man love for Kane Williamson.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But anyway. but it was good then to see, you know, if a bowler was on. I mean, no. Spinners just got pumped.
Yeah.
There's not a spinner in the world anymore. Yeah. Like, no one can bowl spin. And batsmen just hit them out of the park because the boundaries are small. So then to see just good, quick bowling was really good. For it to go all the way down to the final, it was just a good tournament, wasn't it? Like, people were complaining about the rain. I remember on Twitter saying, only three games have ever been called off in a World Cup before. And we've had five now. You know, that sort of thing.
Is that Jono?
Sounded just like
there's loads of people, and then everybody's complaining, and then bang, you get that in the final. Yeah. I just think, just watch the game, enjoy it. There was some real good cricket on show, and that was amazing.
Just a quick postscript back to that initial pod and Tom Field's tweet about Ben Stokes. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
The most overrated player.
Thanks, Fieldy.
It's not like Fieldy to say something
else. In Fieldy's defence, he was the first to then flag it up.
He was, saying, I know nothing. Yeah. Well done, Tom. By the way, what are the lottery numbers for not going to be tonight?
Well, saying that, I tweeted about 3 years ago that I felt Chris Wokes was a journeyman cricketer who'd never make it. And Jack Chantry, who I played a bit of cricket with in Shropshire, got back to me and saying, Dan, it's a village call. It's a poor call. He's going to be a really good cricketer. And Jack's been in touch this week and we've had a quick chat. And clearly, he knows more about cricket than me. So Fieldy's not alone. I was just going to flag, I'm going to always wonder about Dhoni batting out for basically a losing draw.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't get it. And we did have people in this club who were defending it. I just thought, it's like Gavaskar batting out in the very first game of World Cup history. What was he doing? And I'll never know the answer to that.
It was more like Gavaskon than Gavaskar, the way he batted.
Boom. Gosh, what's
you said? You said you were going to get that line in. No, I think when he's won, you know, they came up with that stat, when he's not out, they've won like 90% of games when he's not out, right? But most of those times he's done that, he's got six, whatever his runs, off 130 strike rate.
Yeah.
And I watched that game and I was thinking, this is shit, this is bullshit, because he was blocking half ollies. I'm not saying you have to hit out the pot. He was doing right to take it down.
Yeah.
But never looked like he was leaving half ollies, blocking half ollies. I just thought, this is bullshit.
And you had Ganguly saying, oh, only 12 and over. Oh, such, so cool. He's so chilled out as the run rate goes up.
14 and up.
No one, like, you know, people get it twisted because of 2020 cricket. They go, oh, yeah, no, 18s. We'll go 18s. Like, come on. Yeah,
only
how many times has it actually happened?
Where, only if Conor Finney's bowling.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I have a question about that, just so we're going to finish off. But when you're batting in a T20 game in a first-class arena, I mean, I always look at, if you need two runs a ball, unless you're in the last two overs, it's basically going. You know, two runs a ball is the marker where I think, you know, that's beyond the batting team. Have batsmen in the first-class arena got sort of markers like that? Or
no. You've got to remember how the innings went. How the first innings went.
Yeah.
So if someone's played a ridiculous knock and, you know, scored 180 and just boomed it everywhere, then it's actually quite hard to distinguish how good that pitch is.
Yeah.
So often when sides get 200 and it gets chased, it's normally good cricket shots that have gotten there. It's not like, you know, or a good pitch. That's the main thing. If you've got a good pitch, sometimes on these pitches, they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so people, and small boundaries. So like the par score in IPLs now is 200. But if you don't get 200, you've lost.
Is that right? The par score is getting...
Well, it looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So they've stopped creating those dust bowls at certain franchises.
Yeah.
Where they used to be, you know, 140s, 150s. And funnily enough, they're really good games. So they're flat pitches, small boundaries. Hmm. I know they've reduced the size of the edges of the bats, but it's still a big edge. And guys are just training, they're range hitting every day.
Yeah.
You know, they're just literally practicing to hit the ball out the park.
Sixes,
that's it. Hence, I think one day cricket has improved, Test cricket's gone the other way. But
I have to say, I watched a little bit of the latest Test match today, England playing Australia.
Oh, that was good, wasn't it?
Even I have to be frank, I thought about watching the golf, and I don't like golf.
Well, I was working today, I was varnishing this cedar wood gym thing on the outside, and I decided to watch that to dry instead of watching the...
It wasn't...
But women's cricket is amazing.
Yeah.
It goes without saying, it's just one game, but it just... Yeah. After what we've seen, it just didn't hit the button.
I have to say, though, Elise Perry, she is beyond women's cricket, isn't she?
Sorry, I was working today. What happened today? I haven't seen anything.
She'd be a decent first team cricketer.
I mean, Australia are 240 over three when I left, and that the second new ball had just been taken.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Scott had long since switched off. He has no idea.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I reckon she could not face Gurdjieff. She couldn't. She'd struggle.
Probably. She bowls pretty well. Yeah. She bowls about 75 licks,
which is like a 2 mile an hour quicker than you. 75 only clicks.
That's not bad,
mate.
What's he bowling 73 mile an hour? There's a thought.
Yeah, it's better
get the news
action out
to Hornsey. They've got a beast on their hands at the weekend. Fellas, as always...
Shall we look forward quickly?
We can look forward, yeah, sure. Fire away, usual.
Cricket Week is coming up, Dan. So it's always good to promote that, making sure that people know about it.
Yeah. Talk to the games. What, we've got four that
I know
of. We've
got four locked in so far. Yeah. Monday, is it the 5th?
Yes.
of August, we've got Redditch, which is an all-day game, starting at 11.
Starting at 11. The Redditch boys are, they've already got 20 nailed on.
20?
Yeah, they're already bigging up the curry. And they are, to say they are looking forward to it would be a reasonable understatement. They're coming big style.
That means they're thirsty, right?
They may be, yeah. They may be.
Cool. And you are skipper in the day, Dan, is that right?
I believe so, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Cool.
Yeah.
On the Tuesday, we have Singapore in a Vets
Singapore
game.
Singapore Vets.
Yep, over 35, so that'll be good for that. Wednesday, we are playing 1987, is that correct? Yeah. Mr. Watts is skipper in that one.
Can't wait for that one.
Thursday, we have a bye. We are looking on Thursday night to do the session with Martin Fenn. On gazing, and that is trying to be positive about cricket, so it'll be hand in hand with Scott's mindset that we're trying to do. And then on Friday evening, we're playing a T20 against Old Wimbledonians. So if you haven't, please get in touch with your skippers or make yourself available on Pitchero, because we want to get those sides locked in as soon as possible.
Yeah. And I should say, if you're not quite sure how to do that, I know that a couple of people have emailed me actually about not being able to put their availability. I think. We don't go into the details, but that might happen. If it does, just email one of us and we will sort that
definitely
out for
yep.
you. Okay, good stuff, guys. Fantastic range of topics covered. We will reconvene next week to chew the fat again. Thanks for listening. See everyone soon.
Thanks, cheers, everyone. Guys. See you later.